Everybody's talking at me.
CRN Digital Talk Radio, Chuck Wilder here, Nick at the studios, and we are live across America and around the world at crntalk.com. Today's guest, Judd Garrett, going to talk about his article, Indefensible. All right. In the second hour, Selwyn Duke, writer for The New American, and boy, a good one. Are you ready for this title? Ex-Google exec says by 2049, artificial intelligence will become God and master of man. Heck of a really good article. All right. Well, let's see in the news. The U.S. Marine who posted videos on social media criticizing military leadership and the Biden administration's withdrawal of military assets from Afghanistan was issued a letter of reprimand and a forfeiture of $5,000 worth of pay for 1 month after pleading guilty to all charges during his court-martial hearing. Lieutenant Colonel Stuart Scheller Jr. pled guilty to all six misdemeanor-level charges, including willfully disobeying a superior commission officer, dereliction in the performance of duties, and conduct unbecoming an officer and a gentleman. The judge today said he would have given a 2 month forfeiture pay had it not been for the 9 days that Scheller spent in pretrial confinement. He was freed from the brig last week where he was being held for violating an agreement to stop posting criticism on social media. The judge said he does not condone Scheller's offenses, but noted his 17-year USMC career, saying that prior to his social media incident, he was an officer with an outstanding record, a record, he said, weighed heavily. The letter of reprimand was much less than what was recommended. Prosecution recommended a forfeiture of $5,000 of pay for 6 months and a letter of reprimand. The maximum penalty could have been forfeiture of a two-third majority monthly payment for 12 months after a letter of reprimand. The sentencing came after Scheller was relieved of his command at one of Camp Lejeune's infantry training battalions in August. After posting the videos to Facebook and LinkedIn after a bombing at the international airport in Kabul took the lives of 13 U.S. service members, as well as dozens of Afghan citizens. Quote, did anyone raise their hand and say we completely messed this up? Scheller had asked in a video. I'm not saying we can take back what we had been done or what had been done. All I asked for was accountability for people to comment on what I said and to say, yes, mistakes were made. And had they done that, I would have gone back into rank and file, submitted, and accomplished what I wanted. Scheller, by the way, is a decorated Marine who served for 17 years. His other charges include contempt toward officers, disrespect toward superior commissioner officers, and failure to obey order or regulation. Brian Shilhavi, editor for Health Impact News, filed this story. Very interesting. NBA star Kyle Irving is waging a war with the NBA over mandatory COVID-19 shots. And at least from Brian's perspective, he's overwhelmingly winning that war. Kyle is a member of the Brooklyn Nets, New York City NBA franchise team. New York City mandates that everyone attending events such as professional basketball games must have proof of vaccination for COVID-19. When training for camp for the NBA broke out a couple of weeks ago for the new season, several players that is, stated they would not be getting a mandatory COVID-19 shot, with others expressing hesitancy at getting it, stating that it should be a matter of one's own choice. And this included two high-profile players in California, LeBron James of the L.A. Lakers and Andrew Wiggins of the Golden State Warriors. Both of those players have now succumbed to the pressure, not only from the NBA, but also from the Wall Street billionaire globalists who own the NBA, and people like Whoopi Goldberg and Dallas Mavericks owner Mark Cuban, and other former jocks turned billionaires like Charles Barkley, Shaquille O'Neal, and all of whom are promoting the COVID-19 bioweapon shots and betraying their own people. This according to Brian Shilhavi. Now, Andrew Wiggins stated that he was given the choice to either play basketball or get the shot, and he chose to play basketball. LeBron came out and stated that he looked at the science and decided it was the right thing to do for him and his family. Meanwhile, Brooklyn Nets coach Steve Nash said at a press conference that the team was preparing to play the season without Kyle being able to play home games, since he was not apparently budging on his position. Undoubtedly, in the face of tremendous pressure from the globalists to announce to the public that he was going to get the shot as a condition to be able to play the games in New York City, that required him to have the shot. Kyrie stuck to his principles and was willing to give up half of his salary and many millions of dollars to stick to the principle and only be eligible to play road games outside New York City. He called their bluff. And as a result of yesterday, Brooklyn general manager Sean Marks stated that the team would not allow him to play just half of their games outside of New York after all. Kyle has made a personal choice, and we respect this individual's right to choose. Currently, the choice restricts his ability to be a full-time member of our team, and we will not permit any member of our team to participate without part-time availability. Well, what a joke. I'm sure that Kyrie has provided his availability not only part-time but full-time, and it's team that is refusing to let him play without commenting to being injected with a bioweapon. Now, the real reason the NBA and the Nets are making this decision is that they cannot afford the PR nightmare that it would ensue for allowing an anti-vaxxer to tour to other NBA cities and become a beacon of light for those who refuse to bow to the globalists and their eugenics agenda. Well, very well. In other news, congressional Democrats concerned over lukewarm public enthusiasm for their massive social welfare spending package may be forced to modify a tax rising provision that has prompted significant backlash. A plan to provide the IRS with access to individual bank accounts with balances, you know, as low as $600, may end up significantly modified or even dropped altogether amid opposition from lawmakers and trade groups who say it would infringe on privacy and create significant liability for financial institutions, as well as add new costs for consumers. And when I first saw this, I said, didn't they think about this before? Well, okay. Oh, here it is. Speaker Nancy Pelosi, California Democrat, brushed off concerns about the provision when reporters asked about it on Tuesday, but acknowledged the terms could change. My comment, Pelosi doesn't worry about money. You should know that. Let's see. What did she say? Yes, there are concerns that people have, but if people are breaking the law and not paying their taxes, one way to track them is through the banking measure. As for the $600 threshold, she added, that's a negotiation that will go on to as, you know, what the amount is. Well, the provision could backfire for Democrats who are struggling to increase their public approval of the Build Back Bankrupt. The Build Back Better plan, the massive social welfare package, you know, Democrats hoping to still jam through the House and the Senate this year. It would create a broad array of new government programs paid for by tax increases. Yes. Democrats say the tax hikes would be aimed only at corporations and wealthy individuals. Yes, and I have some swampland in Florida I want to sell you. And by the way, President Biden has long promised it would not include families with incomes less than $400,000. But the IRS provision would target just about anyone. And my comment, of course, not Congress critters for sure, no. Anyway, but on with the story. IRS provisions would target just about anyone with a bank account, requiring financial institutions to track and submit to the IRS information on the inflows and outflows of every accountant above $600 during the year, including breakdowns for cash. This according to the American Bankers Association. I wonder if the IRS would catch any IRS people, you know, with those $600. No, they probably are exempt too. In a letter sent earlier this month to the House leaders, the ABA joined 40 business groups in urging lawmakers to drop this proposal. The group attacked the claim by Biden administration officials and Democrats that it would be aimed solely at catching rich tax cheats. Quote, while the stated goal of this vast data collection is to undercover tax dodging by the wealthy, this proposal is not remotely targeted to the proposal or that population. This is business groups including the Consumer Bankers Association, the National Association of Realtors, and they're the ones that wrote to the House leaders in both parties. This proposal would almost certainly undermine efforts to reach vulnerable populations and unbanked households. Well, House Ways and Means Committee Chairman Richard Neal, Massachusetts Democrat, he's considering a plan to increase the threshold for IRS access to bank accounts with a balance minimum of $10,000. The average household bank account in 2019, believe it or not, was about $40,000, according to a Federal Reserve Board survey, which means the new threshold could still snag many bank accountants of individuals who actually do not consider themselves as wealthy. I guess it would also kind of put a damper on, you know, let's put some money in the piggy bank and save it, or let's put some money in the bank and forget the, anyway. I wonder if they still have, would it be nickel banks now? I don't know. By the way, in a CBS News interview, Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen called the IRS provision targeting 600 accounts terribly misunderstood and insisted it would not be used to analyze individual transitions, but would instead be utilized to capture wealthy tax cheats whose income is uncertain and the IRS does not have information about it. Income uncertain. Once again, what about these Congress critters, huh? Oh, she did say one thing about Congress. Yeah, Yellen has been warning Congress that the government would fail to collect $7 trillion in taxes over the next decade due to cheating and under-reporting. Wow. A federal judge has found the warden of a D.C. jail and the director of the D.C. Department of Corrections in contempt of court and called for an investigation by the Department of Justice to determine whether the jail has violated the civil rights, wait for it, of the January 6th defendants. Yes, quote, for the reasons stated in open court, it is adjudged that the warden of the D.C. jail, Wanda Patton, and director of the D.C. Department of Corrections, Quincy Booth, are in civil contempt of court. This according to U.S. District Judge Roy C. Lambert. You've heard of him before. He ruled on this Wednesday. Quote, the clerk of the court is ordered to transmit a copy of this order to the Attorney General of the United States for appropriate inquiry into potential civil rights violations of the January 6th defendants, as exemplified in this case. I find that the civil rights of the defendant have been abused. Lambert, a Republican appointee, said at the hearing, I don't know if it's because he's a January 6th defendant or not, but I find this matter should be referred to the Attorney General of the United States. Goes on and on and on. Christopher Worrell, see, the defendant in this specific case, who is being charged with several felonies related to the January 6th riot, is being treated for non-Hodgkin's lymphoma and had contracted the coronavirus while he was in jail. Worrell, by the way, broke his hand in jail, interesting, in May and was recommended to have surgery in June. But in August, his lawyers say jail officials have not addressed the injury and have only provided Tylenol and other inflammatories to fix his broken hand. I think there should be an investigation to find out how that hand got broken, but we'll see. Hey, Judd Garrett, coming up next with a very interesting article entitled Indefensible, all right? And if you're a football fan, you'll especially want to listen to this one. We'll be right back.
I'm Al Simon, 91 years young. I created Balance 7 20 years ago. At 67, I went to see the doctor for the first time in my life and found out that I had medical problems. He told me that was normal for my age. I don't believe God intended us to be sick and old. I decided to find something to bring my health back. For 10 years, I studied pH and how important it is to the human system. Balance 7 gave me back what I lost by getting older. I no longer get out of bed with a joint discomfort. Balance 7 can do for you what it has done for me and many others. In 3 days' time, you'll feel more energy, less joint discomfort, and clarity of thinking. No doctor or hospital can do what Balance 7 can do for you. Balance 7 is the key to unlocking the healthy immune system. Bring your body back to balance.
Order now. Receive free shipping with the code word AL. Go to balance7.com. That's balance7.com. Order now and get your free shipping and a free gift with your order. Go to balance7.com. Use the code word AL.
Do you want to fly somewhere? Anywhere in the world? Smart travelers call myflightsearch.com for the best deals on flight tickets. Going to Manila, Bangkok, London, how about Singapore? Call myflightsearch.com for the lowest flight tickets available. What about a local vacation? Let's say you want to fly to Vegas, Orlando, Miami, Los Angeles, or Denver. Pick up the phone and call myflightsearch.com right now. We have exclusive deals that you can't find anywhere else. The only way you can get these low airline prices is by calling us. We have so many low prices available, we can't possibly tell them to you right here and now. If you're flying somewhere anytime in the next 6 months and you want the lowest airline ticket prices anywhere, you owe it to yourself to save a ton of money. So pick up your cell phone and call myflightsearch.com right now.
Call 800-445-3166. 800-445-3166. That's 800-445-3166. Call now. 800-445-3166.
If Ernest Hemingway was alive today, would he say this to you?
Shakespeare, Mark Twain, Edgar Allan Poe, all great writers. And after reading your book, I simply must add you to the list.
Wait, you don't have a book yet. So make a free call to Page Publishing. Their expert staff can help you turn your book idea into a real book, a masterpiece that could someday make the bestseller list in hard copy and digitally all across the world. Page Publishing can help you completely take your idea for a book, write it, and publish it. So if you want to join the ranks of some of the most famous authors in the world, call now for a free information kit. Turn your book idea into publishing gold. Make a free call right now to Page Publishing.
800-378-3212. 800-378-3212. 800-378-3212. That's 800-378-3212.
Everybody's talking at me.
Chip Wilder, CRN. Let me tell you about my guest, Judd Garrett. After 6 years as a professional football player, he was also on the 1993 Super Bowl champion Dallas Cowboys. Well, after that, he began a 12-year coaching career with the Saints, Dolphins, Rams, Cowboys, served another 12 years personal executive with the Cowboys. And by the way, he's written 2 screenplays. He's a frequent contributor on the topics of sports and politics to Real Clear Politics, all right? No Wind, his first published novel, and as I say, frequent contributor on the topic of sports, and perfect timing. Hey, Judd, how are you, sir?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
Pretty good. Hey, before we get to the article, Indefensible, did you happen to watch any of the Giants and Dodgers last night? I know it lasts a long time in your time zone.
Well, I watched the football game first, and then I turned over to the baseball game to catch the last couple innings. So, yeah, I was able to watch that.
And, in fact, in the football, they had another one of these, you know, you stuck your tongue out at the guy. Okay, that's 15-yard penalty. So there went the what could have been, maybe, who knows. But on the Giants and the Dodgers game, of course, everybody now, the Giants, of course, that was not a full swing. But if you look at the photos, I figure if a bat is halfway across the base, wouldn't that be a full swing in your opinion?
Yeah, that's what the rule says. If the bat sort of crosses the plane of the plate, then they call that a swing. So
yeah. They have the pitchers, but the wishers don't want to give up. I don't blame them, but it was a very exciting game. So
yeah, it was great.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to tell you something, listener. Judd Garrett, I brag about him all the time and constantly off the air. People get tired of hearing about it. Came out with an article entitled Indefensible, and what it has to do with is the Las Vegas Raiders head coach, John Gruden, resigned from the team, because of a derogatory email that he sent about 10 or 15 years ago. And totally amazing. Isn't there sort of a, what's that thing they have in law, you know, the time limit is run out on that crime?
Yeah, statute of limitations.
There, thank you. Statute of limitations. Yeah, that might be your follow-up article. Yeah, statute of limitations. Yeah. But a lot of people didn't, I didn't realize this myself, that originally this whole thing started with an internal investigation of the Washington, and it might have been Redskins back then, but the Washington football team, right?
Yeah, they. There were a couple of years ago, there were some accusations by employees that some of the other employees were committing, you know, sexual harassment. So the league did an investigation into the Washington football team, and I guess that means going through everybody's emails, and these are the emails that surfaced, and somehow the league doesn't admit to it, but somehow these emails leaked out to the media. So I don't know how that happened, but you know, to me, as I wrote in the second paragraph, there should be a legal scope of an investigation, and it should pertain strictly to the people being investigated, not other people. John Gruden was not part of that investigation, but he got caught up in it.
And I believe, if I'm correct, he was actually a commentator for ESPN, right? And he was working with a man of color who announced when all of this stuff broke that he never once heard any derogatory remarks from Gruden. But here he was, I think he wasn't on any football team. He wasn't employed by the NFL. He was just working for ESPN Sports at the time, I believe.
Yeah, he wasn't coaching a team back then, and you know he had taken like 10-12 years off from coaching between the Buccaneers and then going back to the Raiders. So that was during the time when he was not with the team, and you know when he sent these emails, he assumed that they were private between him and Bruce Allen, who was the general manager of the Redskins at the time, and you know His understanding that this is a conversation between two people, no one else is going to hear it or read about it, and next thing you know, it's all coming out.
Yeah, boy. And another thing, we're coming up on a break here real quick, but the other thing is the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, all right? That's the one where he had the Super Bowl victory against the Raiders. They have removed him from their Ring of Honor. Boy, this woke situation is unbelievable. You know, if you're an athlete and you do an astonishing thing like that, and then they decide, well, now because you don't like some sexual attitude or you said, I mean, wow. If you accomplish it, let them have it and let other people just decide if they don't want to look at the Ring of Honor. We're going to be right back. More from Judd Garrett. The website, objectivityistheobjective.com. Objectivityistheobjective.com.
Keep listening for a free offer from US Med. If you're living with diabetes and using insulin, you know the pain of sticking your fingers over and over again. By simply wearing a small remote device called a continuous glucose monitor, or CGM, you can reduce the pain of sticking your fingers right away. If you're testing your blood sugar daily and administering insulin three or more times per day, or using an insulin pump, call today and learn about the latest CGM technology. We'll send you a free ebook telling you all you need to know about CGMs. A CGM can immediately reduce pain. It's accurate, easy to use, and helps you make better diabetes treatment decisions. Your new CGM may be covered by Medicare or private insurance. Call now to learn more. 800-524-9313. 800-524-9313. That's 800-524-9313.
For the getaway of your dreams, come to Hawaii's Playground, Ka'anapali Beach Resort, on the fun side of Maui, where the world comes to play. Find your spot on Ka'anapali Beach with 3 miles of white sand, 12 resort properties, 2 golf courses, and 2 shopping centers. Enjoy the playground of Hawaii's ancient royalty. Ka'anapali Beach Resort is Hawaii's original master planned destination resort and home of the Hawaii Food and Wine Festival. With views of 2 neighboring islands, you can breathe in the land's natural beauty from your favorite resort or golf fairway. Come experience Ka'anapali's own special brand of Hawaiian hospitality with world-class dining, relaxing resorts, water sports, and activities of every kind. For romantic, family, and great friend getaways, discover the options of Ka'anapali Beach Resort, where the world comes to play. Plan your getaway today. Visit ka'anapaliresort.com. That's K-A-A-N-A-P-A-L-I-Resort.com.
You order a glass of your favorite Cabernet, fresh asparagus, hollandaise on the side, a filet, medium rare. You unfurl your napkin with a flair, close your eyes, and prepare to listen. Ah, there it is. The sweet music you long to hear. The sizzle. The sizzle of a Ruth's Chris steak.
The most magnificent corn-fed prime beef, broiled to perfection at 1,800 degrees. Some call it a sizzle. We call it an anthem.
As the waiter approaches, you think, is this one mine or that one?
Ruth's Chris Steakhouse. Like Ruth always said, life's too short to eat anywhere else.
Make a reservation online at rootschris.com or by calling 800-544-0808.
What are you going to do with your old car? You can try selling it, you could junk it, or you could donate it to Heritage for the Blind. Your car will be towed away for free, and your donation is tax deductible. Just call 1-800-785-9618. Heritage for the Blind accepts cars, vans, trucks, and boats. It doesn't matter if your vehicle runs or not. It will be towed away for free, and you'll be supporting those that need help. Heritage for the Blind is a nonprofit organization that helps the visually impaired live fuller lives. Call right now to donate your car, and as a special thank you for calling, you'll receive a free 3-day vacation voucher to many exciting locations. Call Heritage for the Blind right now, 1-800-785-9618. Donating is easy, and your vehicle is towed away for free. Plus, you'll get a free vacation voucher. Call now, 1-800-785-9618. That's 1-800-785-9618.
Everybody's talking at me. CRN, Chuck Wilder with my guest, Judd Garrett, author of No Wind, and discussing his article, Indefensible, where you can read it at objectivityistheobjective.com. So now we got the NFLPA, you say, now petitioning to have every email from the Washington football team released, every single one of them. Now, let me ask you, all right, Dallas Cowboys, did you ever, I don't know if you can answer this on the air or not, Judd, but let me put you on the spot. Did you ever see a Dallas cheerleader stick her tongue out at another Dallas cheerleader because she didn't like her? Was there a possibility there?
I never witnessed that specifically.
Yeah, married man, father of 6. I just thought, you know, you were looking around and saying, what's she doing? Yeah. But who knows? You know, that would fall in the realm of this eventually. She has to resign because she stuck her tongue out at another girl she didn't like. I mean, this is ridiculous. But you're saying, why stop with the Washington football team, right?
Yeah, I mean, if we're going to judge John Gruden and fire him and run him out of the league because of what we found in his private emails, then we should go through the private emails of everybody in the league. Owners, head coaches, general managers, players, assistant coaches, trainers, go through everybody and find out. I mean, if this is the level of scrutiny right, and the level of judgment that we're holding one person, then we need to be fair and hold everybody to that same standard. And obviously no one would do that because and I'm not going to name names, but in my time in the National Football League, there were a lot of really bad things said and spoken that I overheard, and I saw. So if everybody's held account for every word they said or every word they put in an email, most of the National Football League would have the same fate as John Gruden.
You know, and you can go back like so many years that we're talking about, 15 years, and there was a lot of racial hatred going on, or a lot of slurs and things like that. And, you know, and we've cleaned up our act. And like most people are saying about Gruden, you know, he's not that way. You know, 15 years ago, it's kind of hard. Maybe he did it. Maybe he did it in a joke, or whoever knows. Maybe he did it. Maybe he was halfway serious. But so were a million other people that nothing happened, and a million other people that are probably have very good jobs, and who knows. Let's start looking at every single coach, see. Oh, I bet somebody would back down on that, wouldn't they? Somehow. I don't know.
Yeah. And then are we gonna do that for everybody? I mean, yeah. Why would we be limited just to the NFL? I mean, should we do that? Should we do CEOs of major companies and employees of major companies and put everybody's private stuff out there? I mean, there's a reason why, you know, the founders of this country, you know, put the right to privacy within the Constitution, because they understood that, you know, everybody has the right to determine what part of themselves they want to put out to the public and what part of themselves that they want to keep private. And that right to privacy is very important. And it seems to me with all this new technology, you know, it's not just exclusive to John Gruden. I think a lot of people's privacy are being violated, and we don't have the sanctity of the right to privacy anymore. And to me, you know, we're going to be a much worse country because of it.
Yeah. I may be wrong. I've been wrong a couple of times. But didn't Biden do the I'm trying to think of the word. Anyway, you know, when somebody dies, the eulogy? Yeah. The eulogy, yeah, for a former KKK member that was a congressperson?
I believe he did the eulogy for Robert Byrd.
Yes,
who at one point was a high-ranking member of the Ku Klux Klan, and, you know, Biden, mm-hmm, stood up and talked about how great of a man this person was, and you know, and like I said, I mean, I never met Robert Byrd, and, you know, I know his history. I mean, maybe the later part of his life he had a complete 180 turnaround and became a different person. I don't know, but, you know,
The same thing fall under Joe Biden as it does Gruden, John Gruden?
Well, that's the point. We need to have a little bit of even justice going on. I mean, we can't just single out one person because we dug up their emails and then let everybody else have a free pass. It shouldn't work that way.
Wow. I'll tell you, it's was there one certain person you think that decided, hey, let's look into John Gruden? Or was it just something that said, oh, look what we found in the files? Is that what it basically happened, and his name popped up?
Well, I think they're going through the emails of Bruce Allen, who is the general manager of the Redskins. But I think there's a push in the NFL to run Daniel Stern out of the league and force him to sell the team. And I think a lot of this has to do with that. So they're going to start releasing emails and try to use leverage against him to get him out of the league and sell it. And some people have suggested that Jeff Bezos wants to buy the team, which I think would be a disaster. It would be even worse than Daniel Snyder owning it. But I mean, the league shouldn't step in and try to force an owner to sell their team just because they don't like the guy.
Well, who knows? There might be money behind Bezos, you know, going into the football committee saying, you know, hey, here's just a little bit of cash here to make you think about the possibility of me. You know what I'm saying? Of course, you know, I'm not saying that's happening, but I'm just saying if you have that much money, my goodness, just start your own team, I guess, right? Albuquerque's open.
if that happened with Bezos, then the NFL would turn into what the NBA has become. The NBA is just pawns of China. You know, they get most of their money from China, so they're going to kowtow to the Chinese government, Chinese officials. They don't care about America anymore. And if that happened, Bezos is really tied into China, so it's going to bring more money to the NFL. But the NFL is going to be subservient to China, just like the NBA is.
Yeah, when I first just heard, hey, Gruden just resigned, and why, and I'm thinking, and then you hear about the emails, and before you get all the facts, and how this started all way, way back then, 15 years ago, I was thinking, heck, you don't have to worry about the Raiders if you're trying to get rid of the guy. They started out like, whoop, fantastic, and then bam, I think the Chargers showed that the Raiders aren't ready to win the Super Bowl yet. You know what I mean? So they weren't a threat. Yeah.
I work with their new coach, Rich Bisaccia. I think he'll do a nice job. He's a very good coach. I mean, obviously, he's not as dynamic as
this
Gruden,
is the guy with the Chargers, right?
No, he's the new head coach at the Raiders. He was the special teams coach,
right?
That they promoted. And he's a very good football coach, so I think he'll do a nice job with them. But it's hard to overcome this whole scandal. I hope their season isn't ruined because of it.
Yeah, and they're playing the big rival, Colorado. Yeah, the Denver Broncos.
Oh, Denver. Okay.
Yeah, this week Denver's they're playing them. In Denver, but I guess they got their quarterback back. I know he had a concussion, and the Ravens stomped him. I guess they stomped the guy, he got a concussion, and then they won the game. I don't know how that works, but it's interesting. I'm glad you said that he's a good coach, because I'm a little concerned about it. I'll bet you, though, and a lot of listeners didn't realize, that Gruden was actually getting paid $1 million a year, and he had a 10-year contract. So just to step up and say, I'm out of here, I don't need this, I hope he has a big piggy bank, you know what I mean?
Well, actually, it was more than, it was $10 million a year he was getting for 10 years.
$10 million a year. Oh, mercy.
It was the biggest contract that a head coach has ever gotten when he signed it a few years ago. So I don't know what the settlement was. I don't think he's going to get all the money in the contract, but he probably got a nice settlement, so... he may end up being better off.
I'm glad I had you on, because I've been quoting this 1 million, and I had other people quoting one million for 10 years, and I'm thinking, wow, that's great. But he might go out and buy a football team.
I don't know.
That'd be interesting, wouldn't it? But don't you think it's kind of petty when I mentioned earlier about how the Buccaneers take out his ring of honor? I mean, there's a lot of athletes who have done things, after they've already accomplished, and a lot of people have accomplished great things and then went and did something stupid. But you shouldn't take away, a physical attribute. You know what I mean by that? A physical thing, not a mental thing.
Yeah, I mean, he got that honor to be in the Ring of Honor because of what he accomplished at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Based on who he was as a person. There are a lot of people who are in rings of honor throughout the National Football League who are highly questionable character people. I'm not going to name any of them, but I know some. And but they're honored for their performance on the field and what they did, competing in the National Football League, not because of what type of human being they were. So I think it was just an overreaction by Tampa Bay that, I think they may regret down the road, because it's hard to take that thing back, and re-put them in. But it's a shame that they did that. And, John Gruden is an excellent football coach, and, all the success he's enjoyed was rightfully his, because he's very good at what he does. And it's a shame that this whole stuff came out and he got caught up in it.
Yeah, and he never, you know, wore it on his collar or anything like that. You know, it wasn't like, this is my stance today, and I want you to know what, how I feel about it, you know. Same way with, you know, if you go to the Olympics, right, and you get a gold medal, and then come to find out, oh, my goodness, he used the F word twice. Oh, wow, yes, or the N word, you know. It's just, I don't know, it's a sad thing that things like this happen. I want to get to your final call, your final paragraph here. But just before that, you say, take a good look at the person staring back at us in the mirror each morning and decide if he is really any better than John Gruden we are condemning right now. Yeah, very good.
Yeah, I mean, I look at my life and, you know, I can say I didn't write any emails that John Gruden wrote, but I have not lived a perfect life. I've sinned. I've made mistakes. I've hurt people, you know, and, you know, hopefully I've learned from all that and gotten better and improved. So if somebody had a videotape of my life, they could pull out my worst moments and show it to people, and it wouldn't look very good, you know, and people could judge me negatively for it. And I think everybody has that same story. You know, the sins may be different, but the sins are the sins. And, you know, before we start condemning people, we better take a good look to make sure, you know, everything we've done is you know, up to the standards that we preach.
Well, you say, you know, Jesus put it this way, he who is without sin may cast the first stone. And you said, I've never met a sinless person in my life. No one has, but I've met scores of people with sacks of stones on their backs, itchy fingers, believing that throwing enough stones will eventually absolve them for their own sins. But it never does, because you don't get to heaven off the sins of others, and you don't get there off of your own righteousness either. You get there by loving others as God has loved you, and the cornerstones of God's love are compassion and forgiveness, especially for the very people we believe do not deserve compassion and forgiveness. People a lot like John Gruden. People a lot like each one of us. Wow. So how many of your children help you write this out of your six children? Get in here and say, hey, Dad, why don't you put it this way?
No, my kids make fun of me for writing all this, but no, I'm kidding.
Yeah.
Oh, they're always embarrassed of their parents, so... That's a little bit of dynamic working, but I mean, you know, that's the cornerstone of our Christian, you know, belief system is he is without sin may cast the first stone, and we're all sinners, and you know, are we a Judeo-Christian nation or aren't we? I believe we are. That's what we were founded on, and this is one of the Judeo-Christian ethics, and we have to have compassion and forgiveness, and you know. I completely disagreed with his emails. I thought the emails were absolutely wrong, and I wrote that in my piece. But I had an unbelievable level of compassion for him and forgiveness for him, because I'm trying to have compassion and forgiveness for other people the way I want others and God to have compassion and forgiveness for me. So that's what I'm trying. That's what I try to do. And I tried to put that out there. I mean, it's easy to start throwing stones at John Gruden and destroy him and say he's a horrible person. That's the easy thing to do. The hard thing to do is forgive him. And I think God asked us to do the hard stuff, not the easy stuff.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you, listener, the easy thing to do is read this report in its entirety. And all you have to do is go to objectivityistheobjective.com. Objectivityistheobjective.com. Pass it around to some of your football friends, you know, sports friends, or just plain old friends. Well, give it to your enemies, too. All right, I've covered them all. We're going to be right back. Final thoughts there coming from Judd Garrett. We'll talk a little bit about this imminent threat article you did. Be right back.
Attention real estate investors. Do you need cash immediately? If you own one or multiple rental properties, you can use your equity to get cash out fast. The best part is we don't need tax returns or even a good credit score. At America's Loan Source, we are not a bank and we don't have bank rules. We make the decisions to loan you money and there's no limit how much we can give you. Some clients have gotten as much as $500,000 or more within days. Use the money any way you want. If you own one rental property or 100, and COVID has left you in a cash crunch, we can help you turn your equity into fast cash. Call now for details and close in as little as 10 days and get the cash you need. 800-353-1760. 800-353-1760. 800-353-1760. That's 800-353-1760.
The smartest way for you to get the lowest prices on your plane tickets, domestic or international, is to call SmartFares, first or last, but you've got to call us before you book your plane tickets. Fly anywhere in the world, fly anywhere in the U.S., and SmartFares can save you up to 75% on your plane tickets. We have the lowest airline ticket prices on over 500 airlines, and you've got a great 12-hour free cancellation window. Plus, with our live agent help, you can always get fast help and fast answers. So on your next trip, maybe today, maybe tomorrow, how about right now? Pick up your phone and call SmartFares. Plus, save up to 75% on your plane reservation. So call right now. 800-915-2644. 800-915-2644. 800-915-2644. 800-915-2644.
Hi, my name is Lily. My mom and dad used to fight about money all the time. Then one day, I heard them talking about this guy. Some uncle I never knew called Uncle Sam. Well, they say this Uncle Sam guy wanted them to pay him like a gazillion dollars. And they didn't have a gazillion dollars. So they called this company they heard on the radio called The Tax Doctor. And The Tax Doctor worked with Uncle Sam's people. I think they're called the IRS, and they are able to work it out so my mom and dad didn't have to pay Uncle Sam very much money at all. So now mom and dad are happy, and I'm happy too. Thanks, Tax Doctor.
If you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS or state, call now and pay less. 800-391-8713. 800-391-8713. That's 800-391-8713.
Everybody's talking at me.
Chuck Wilder, CRN, with my guest Judd Garrett, G-A-R-R-E-T-T. Objectivity is theobjective.com. All right. Judd just recently wrote an article called Imminent Threat, where he talks about domestic terrorists, you know? And you know what we're talking about because we've been talking about it and the critical race theory and all this stuff going on in the schools. Judd, I got to say, the way they're coming across now with the Attorney General, Merrick Garland, already calling these parents domestic terrorists, couldn't we just call it like mom and dad terrorists? Because basically that's what he's labeling them, right?
Well, exactly. And what they're doing is they're trying to discredit the argument that these people have, discredit the people. So if you object to critical race theory being taught to your children, which everybody should, black, white, Hispanic, you should object to it. They don't take on your argument and your concerns. They just call you a domestic terrorist. Hopefully, just pinning that label on you will negate your argument. It's really a bad way of handling these types of debates.
Yeah. And I'm sure you've heard that the Attorney General, Merrick Garland, by the way, Merrick Garland's the one that the Democrats tried to get on the Supreme Court, which thank God he didn't get there, according to things he's doing. And I'd like to bring this up, you know, that Attorney General Merrick Garland's daughter is married to a guy who pushes all the information, you know, the educational pamphlets and all this good stuff and videos on critical race theory. And they have so many schools that are buying their stuff. We're talking about these people are rolling in the millions. So isn't there a conflict of interest here? I mean, this should automatically be discharged just because of his son-in-law.
Yeah, no question about it. But if you really investigate everything with the Democrats, it all is very incestuous like that. There's always these types of unholy alliances behind the scenes. So you're absolutely right. I mean, his family is making millions and millions of dollars off of pushing critical race theory, and he's there calling anybody who criticizes critical race theory domestic terrorists and having them being put on, you know, FBI watch lists. I mean, it's a complete abuse of power, complete conflict of interest. I mean, it should be, you know, an impeachable offense for him, but, you know, he'll get away with it the way they all get away with it.
Yeah, double standard, man. It's the double standard is out of control. I've never seen it like this. It's just, and the January 6th incursion, you know, insurrection, and then you look at the film. It's like tourists going through there, you know. But they get away with it. They get away with it. And I guess now they're after somebody else that used to work for, Bannon. Yeah, they're after him because, you know, he had something to do with the resurrection of the January 6th attack upon America. Nah, who knows? And they throw so many balls up in the air, it's kind of hard to figure out. You know, it should be like football, right? You're only allowed to throw one at a time up in the air. And, if you fumble, Judd, if you fumble, don't use any cuss words, all right, because it'll come back to haunt you 15 years later. I'll tell you, it's things are strange, yeah. Hey, I certainly appreciate your visit again today, Judd. Look forward to our next one. And I really I want the listeners to go to the website. So many good articles there, all right? Objectivityistheobjective.com. This one is Imminent Threat, and be sure to read Indefensible, all about Mr. John Gruden, former head coach. Yes, there you go. Thank you, sir. We'll do it again.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
All right. Coming up next, Selwyn Duke, and what an article he has. We'll be right back. CRN Digital Talk Radio, Chuck Wilder here, Nick at the studios. We are live across America and around the world at crntalk.com. Hey, next we meet Michael Cutler, special agent, former INS, used to be Immigration Naturalization Service, his latest targeting American parents. Bruce Dietrich Price, author of Saving K-12, and his article, Have the American Media Betrayed Us? Well, not this one. All right. Right now, I want to go to the one and only Mr. Selwyn Duke, writer for The New American. And he also contributes to college textbooks published by Gale Sinage Learning. Of course, he appears on television shows, frequent guest on radio programs, just like this one. His website, selwynduke.com. Selwyn, how are you? How are you?
Chuck, hello there. I'm doing great, and how are you in this fine day?
Well, this fine day, I am fair to partly cloudy.
And that's why it's a fine day.
You know what? And most of the fair part, I guess, is I won't even get into that. It'd take forever to talk about all the wonderful things that are happening. But anyway, you know, I got to tell you, you have done it. Yes, you talk about an interesting article. Ex-Google executive says, by 2049, are you listening? Artificial intelligence will become God. And master of man. Now, did you hear him, Selwyn? What are you talking about? You two crazy people, what are you doing now, Chuck? What's this got to do with COVID? I didn't mention COVID. So anyway, you'd say, really, what are you talking about? Artificial intelligence will become God and master of man. But when you break it down, 2049, and the way things are, Selwyn, I don't know. Sometimes you just your typewriter just types nothing but A's, if you know what I mean. A pluses.
Well, Chuck, this is a very interesting topic and very, very scary to many people, understandably.
It is,
I mean,
yeah.
Really, it's the stuff of which nightmares are made. I have a lady friend who hates hearing about this, and I can understand why. But anyway, you know, as I point out in the article, more than 100 years ago, we heard Friedrich Nietzsche, the atheist philosopher, the German, talk about the Übermensch, the superior man. And actually, I hear he's sitting behind a microphone in a studio there in California doing the show
yeah.
Talk Back. But, you know, still, he's been nice to the rest of us, so that's worked out okay.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Anyway, and Nietzsche also talked about the death, quote-unquote, of God, basically saying that, well, God would no longer be relevant, that concept in people's lives. But now we have people talking about the future, these Silicon Valley A theologians, as I call them, who talk about the singularity. Now, what's that? Well, that's the point where artificial intelligence will become intellectually superior to man. Now, artificial intelligence, of course, is when you take computers and you make them so that they actually can learn on their own as people would, and they can start to perform tasks better than we would. And we've already seen this happen. I mean, we've seen it happen with chess. I remember when Garry Kasparov, the chess champion, said that no computer would ever beat him. And I always found his conceit a little charming. He was a very, very confident man. But actually, a computer ultimately did beat him. And we've seen computers surpass human beings in other endeavors as well. And that's going to happen more and more, whether we like it or not. But anyway, what these Silicon Valley zealots outline sounds like the plot of a science fiction movie. First of all, they say by 2029, just 8 years away, artificial intelligence will surpass human intellect. By 2049, Chuck, these ultra-intelligent machines will become a billion times as smart than even the cleverest among us. And this will make the difference between us and artificial intelligence like the difference between a fly and Albert Einstein. Okay, and I point out this, unfortunately, whether we like it or not, will happen. It's just a matter of when, you know, unless the world ends or there is some onset of some profoundly dark age. But this is where it really gets interesting, because when this happens, will artificial intelligence be this almost omnipotent, practically omniscient servant in the hands of man, that also flawed being, or will it become master? Will it somehow become self-aware? Now, that's
I'm going to stop you right here just a moment, because if people say, you're way off on this, you know, it's kind of strange because, you know, you can get these vacuum cleaners that clean your entire floors, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, they actually map out where some chairs are sitting and other things are sitting. And I'm telling you, I'm perfect. I was amazed the first time I saw this, right? I was thinking, wow, that's pretty damn good, you know? But, I mean, that in itself, to me, Selwyn, just the fact that it can map it out, you know, and the thing is only 12 by 12 inches, you know what I'm saying? It's they've come pretty far, put it that way. Now, sorry, go ahead. This is for the lower-tier learners like me that are listening. Yeah, just look at your vacuum cleaner that you can buy there that you don't even have to plug it in. Well, you plug it in to charge it. Okay, go ahead.
Lower tier, no, I think not. Remember, you're an Übermensch, as I said earlier.
Oh, that's right, I got it, yeah. Übermensch, and I don't even know how to get the two dots over the U.
Yeah, I don't know how to do that either. I've got to copy and paste it from elsewhere still.
Do you really?
At my
age. I wonder, it looks like a smiley face, but I don't care if we spend the entire hour on just this article, okay, because this is something else. But I'm sorry I interrupted you. Go ahead.
No. It always adds something to the conversation. In accordance with what you just mentioned, Chuck, actually yesterday as I was writing this piece, I found this video where they showed what these artificially intelligent robots, if you want to call them that, can do now. And they put on this fun demonstration where you had these robots that looked somewhat human, two arms, two legs, dancing, right. And dancing in a very skillful manner. They did it a lot better than I do because dancing is not my forte, I have to tell you that. And I was thinking to myself, okay, well, that's all fun and games, but if one of these robots could be a robot butler and clean my apartment, yeah. I'd be all in. I can tell you that.
Hey, let me ask you, if you know, because you're probably into country music at times, were they doing, what kind of dance? Was it a line dance, or was it where you really have to twist your partner around?
No, they were dancing individually, but their movements were good,
I have to say.
Their movements were good. But anyway, we're joking around, and let's get back to this serious issue here. So I know this sounds fanciful to a lot of people, but let's move on, because this really is something we have to consider. Now, I was saying, well, could this artificial intelligence someday become self-aware and maybe even become master? And that's been portrayed in the Terminator movies, for instance, and many, many other movies. And there are experts. There are very brilliant men who think that's a distinct possibility. For instance, there's this Google executive. His name is Mo Gaudat. And he, and I'm quoting here right now, Joe Allen at Substack, quote, likens this digital creature to an alien being endowed with superpowers, which has already arrived on Earth in larval form. Okay? And then he finishes this thought, that executive Mo Gaudat, and he says bluntly, the reality is we're creating God. Now, that sounds very sacrilegious, and of course it is, and a person of faith may scoff, Chuck, and say the reality is that this is impossible. But first, let's say maybe Gaudat was speaking loosely. But the bottom line is this. This Uber machine, as I call it, we talked about the Ubermensch, I'm calling this the Uber machine, wouldn't actually be like God in significant ways, and that's the problem. In particular, it wouldn't assuredly be benevolent, Chuck. That's what's scary. Well, anyway, this Allen, the writer I talked about, who himself wrote a beautifully written article, let me just point that out, at Substack, very, very well done. But anyway, he talks about Gaudat's predictions, and he states that Gaudat recently has been, quote, selling the idea of superconscious machines along with his new book, Scary Smart, The Future of Artificial Intelligence and How You Can Save the World. His central thesis is that AI, that means artificial intelligence, has already surpassed us in narrow tasks like chess, Go, Jeopardy, and Atari games. In fact, he believes on some level they're already conscious. As machine learning improves, computers will inevitably best humans in every domain. 3 decades from now, the story goes, the ghost in the machine will be mightier than all the gods of Olympus, Meru, and Sinai put together. Gaudat likens this digital creature to an alien being, like I said before, endowed with superpowers, which has already arrived on Earth in larval form. At present, we call it artificial intelligence. Because machine learning processes draw information from morally suspect humans, now this is where it gets sticky, part angel, part fallen angel, this alien computer god will either be humanity's savior or it will destroy us like lab mice who've exhausted their useful data. And then he quotes Gaudat writing in his book Scary Smart, quote, to put this in perspective, your intelligence in comparison to that machine will be comparable to the intelligence of a fly in comparison to Einstein. Now, the question becomes, how do you convince this super being that there is actually no point squashing a fly, unquote. Okay, so let's just point out that Gaudat is hawking not just ideas here, Chuck, but also a book. So
right. We
know it's going to benefit him to be dramatic. But the problem is, like I indicated earlier, this Uber machine concept has been predicted by many, many before him, among them the notable and renowned computer scientist Ray Kurzweil. He's the man who actually invented the first reading machine for the blind, among other things. Well, anyway, it was this Kurzweil figure who convinced a previously skeptical Bill Joy. Now, Bill Joy is the co-founder of Sun Microsystems, convinced him that sentient robots weren't just science fiction, Chuck, but that they could be a near-term possibility. Okay, now this inspired Joy with, I'll point out, no joy whatsoever, to write his 2000 essay, great essay that got around widely at one time, Why the Future Doesn't Need Us. And I think people should read that too. Very, very interesting. And he makes a number of good points. He talks about how the emergence of the Uber machine would have certain effects. For instance, there are many possibilities. We wouldn't want to relinquish all decision-making to it, right? I think that's pretty obvious. But what he says is he doesn't think we would do that all at once. He says what might happen is that we might slouch into such dependency because as this machine, this Uber machine, achieves greater and greater intelligence and running civilization, Chuck, becomes increasingly complex, we'll slowly, incrementally delegate more and more responsibilities to the artificial intelligence. And then the complexity of society could reach a point where only the Uber machine could run things. And at that point, as Joy puts it, we'd be, quote, so dependent on it that turning it off would amount to suicide. But let's say now man does retain control. Well, this control would be wielded by who, no doubt? An elite, right? Just like we see our pseudo-elite today. And with the machines doing all the work, the masses, as Joy puts it, would be superfluous. They'd be useless eaters from a materialist utilitarian standpoint. And I think we know what that
is. Isn't that funny that when I saw that useless eaters, you know, that's what they're calling those people, you know, that if you're over 75, Bill Gates, you know, you don't need to be on this planet. Useless eaters, yes. And I interrupt you because, well, you already know, but my machine here is telling me, hang on a second.
Chuck, it's time for break.
Yes, you heard that, right?
Yeah. You're already controlled by the machine.
Yeah.
Shut him up. Take break.
Okay. We'll be right back. More from Selwyn Duke. Boy, I mean, this is not fiction, unfortunately. I mean, it's all making sense, unfortunately. But 2049, fortunately, I may not be doing a show by then. But anyway, it's serious stuff if you're concerned about the future. Selwyn Duke. It's SelwynDuke.com. S-E-L-W-Y-N Duke.com.
Hi, everybody. Michael Horn from CRNDigitalTalk.com. You know, we provide you with the best in talk radio. 8 channels of talk radio, from radio on the left to radio on the right. Sports talk, business talk, religious talk, Spanish talk, you name it, we've got talk radio for you. All at CRNTalk.com. Well, now we bring you video as well as audio. That's right. Watch your favorite shows like the Fred Dreyer program, What's Cooking Today, What's Cooking on Wine, The Lounge, Richard Nixon Live, and so many other shows on video right at our website, crntalk.com. You can also watch us on Roku. Just search CRN Talk and you can watch us on any Roku TV anywhere in the world. Also on Facebook Live. Just go to facebook.com/CRN Talk. Roku, search CRN Talk, facebook.com/CRN Talk. Check us out on Tiki Live and at CRN Talk too. Video for you talk fans, all from CRN Talk.
Does your current bathroom need to be updated immediately? Introducing One Day Bath and Shower Remodeling, the complete and hassle-free way to get the new bathroom of your dreams in as little as one day. And for as little as $199 a month. Yes, the experts at One Day Bath and Shower Remodeling will come to you anywhere in the country and show you all the customized options. Now you can have a brand new bathroom in as little as one day. Large or small bathrooms, if you want a new bathtub or shower installed, we can do it in as little as one day. And if you call right now, you can save $750 off your remodel. We make it easy by offering you financing as low as $199 per month. Call now to schedule your free in-home consultation.
855-525-7454. 855-525-7454. That's 855-525-7454.
The smartest way for you to get the lowest prices on your plane tickets, domestic or international, is to call SmartFares, first or last, but you've got to call us before you book your plane tickets. Fly anywhere in the world, fly anywhere in the U.S., and SmartFares can save you up to 75% on your plane tickets. We have the lowest airline ticket prices on over 500 airlines, and you've got a great 12-hour free cancellation window. Plus, with our live agent help, you can always get fast help and fast answers. So on your next trip, maybe today, maybe tomorrow, how about right now? Pick up your phone and call SmartFares. Plus, save up to 75% on your plane reservation. So call right now. 800-915-2644. 800-915-2644. 800-915-2644. 800-915-2644.
Everybody's talking at me. Chuck Wilder, CRN, with Selwyn Duke, writer for The New American, discussing his most recent article, Ex-Google Executive Says, By 2049, Artificial Intelligence Will Become God and the Master of Man. And he's been talking about the writer Bill Joy, co-founder of Sun Microsystems, and his essay, Why the Future Doesn't Need Us. Just unplug us, right, Selwyn? But Selwyn's still plugged in. Go ahead.
Yeah. Well, let me just point out that Bill Joy actually was someone who was very skeptical of this idea that robots could ever become self-aware, could develop consciousness. But then he talked to that Ray Kurzweil, who I mentioned earlier, the great inventor. He's a computer scientist, and Kurzweil changed his mind. So I'm just pointing out again that there are very serious people who are saying to us, look, this doesn't just lie in the realm of science fiction. It's something that could very well become reality. And let me point out also, Chuck, that there are other problems inherent in the development of this artificial intelligence. Now, I mentioned how even if man did retain control before the break, that it would be in the hands, that control of a pseudo-elite. And how would they treat the rest of us once we became superfluous? I mean, if no longer we have to do the work, if the robots are doing all the work, then these pseudo-elites don't need the masses, quote-unquote, around anymore. And even if that's not an issue, what about the deeper social effects? Let's say robots are doing all the work, like I said. What purpose do people have in life? How do they occupy themselves? We have that old saying, an idle mind is the devil's playground. What will people do? Will they be more likely to get involved in addiction, to drink, to cause trouble? I mean, that's a very, very serious question.
I think they'll a lot of them will sign up for weight loss, right? Start going to the gyms.
Yeah.
they'll be making millions of dollars, yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah. Well, that could be a positive addiction, actually,
as a
psychologist many, many years ago talked about, but that's a different issue.
Yeah.
But anyway, you know, getting to the point here, Bill Joy also talks about what could happen if an Uber machine becomes self-aware. And he writes, quote, biological species almost never survive encounters with superior competitors. Okay. Now, again, some will say that AI, artificial intelligence, could never, ever develop self-awareness, but would you bet your life on that? Because that may be what we're doing. And, you know, Chuck, people of faith will find this all fanciful, so I want to address their perspective because I'm one of them. I'm one of them. I want to point that out. And here's my take. We're not God. Even though some of us try to play God, we're not, but we are his children. And what that means is that we have great capabilities, okay? We reflect him in that we have intellect and free will. And because we have these capabilities, after enough time, after enough effort, Chuck, I think we can replicate anything that we can can observe in the physical world. Now, we can't infuse some creation of ours with a soul because the soul is of the spirit. But can we forge some soulless entity that has intellect, self-awareness, and purpose? My guess is we can. I believe we can. That's where I come down on that, and that's what makes this all so scary. Well, anyway, now we come to what Allen, that writer I mentioned before at Substack, calls, quote, the cult of the singularity. Okay, again, the singularity is that point where machines surpass humanity in terms of intellect. And anyway, this is an atheist perspective, Chuck, and it holds that, quote, I'm quoting Allen now, God does not exist yet, okay? When we finally create him, Godot contends, he'll be a reflection of our own image. Now, Godot, who obviously is a misanthrope, Chuck, does not find this to be a very uplifting idea. And he talks about watching the artificially intelligent robots that we already have learn to perform various tasks very, very fast. And then he said, quote, and then it hit me that they are like children and they're observing us. I'm sorry to say, we suck. That's what he said.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, he continued, quote, like, imagine a beautiful, innocent child, and you're telling them selling, gambling, spying, and killing, those are the things we should do. Those are the four top uses of artificial intelligence, right? And I don't know why he throws selling in there. That's not necessarily bad. But anyway, then he says, the way we're teaching them is going to turn them into absolute super villains.
All right. And Selwyn, here's that break time coming up right now. Yeah, you're right. Selling, gambling, spying, killing. Wow. unbelievable.
The Democrats' favorite endeavors.
there you go. Ex-Google X by 2049 says, artificial intelligence will become God and masters of mind. In the name of the Father and the Holy Ghost. All right. Selwyn Duke's going to return, writer for The New American. His website, Selwyn Duke, S-E-L-W-I-N, Duke.com. Be back.
When you really want Italian food, you have got to get to Colombo's. Colombo's Italian Steakhouse and Jazz Club. Colorado Boulevard, Eagle Rock. It's that little neighborhood place you wish was down the street from you. Today, it seems so hard to enjoy just a little bit of easy. So much of life seems to get in the way. But fear not, seekers of fabulous food and fun and thrill, Colombo's is Southern California's answer to Easy Street. Great grub with some of the finest steaks, the freshest fish awaiting for you to devour. Did I mention Colombo's family Italian recipes? Colombo's spaghetti bolognese, their chicken pesto ravioli, Magnifico, and of course, the world's greatest meatballs. I can go on. But why go on when you can go on over to Colombo's and experience delicious and easy for yourself. Colombo's, of course, that little neighborhood place you wish was down the street from you. Colombo's, mind you been.
Do you want to fly somewhere, anywhere in the world? Smart travelers call myflightsearch.com for the best deals on flight tickets. Going to Manila, Bangkok, London, how about Singapore? Call myflightsearch.com for the lowest flight tickets available. What about a local vacation? Let's say you want to fly to Vegas, Orlando, Miami, Los Angeles, or Denver. Pick up the phone and call myflightsearch.com right now. We have exclusive deals that you can't find anywhere else. The only way you can get these low airline prices is by calling us. We have so many low prices available, we can't possibly tell them to you right here and now. If you're flying somewhere anytime in the next 6 months and you want the lowest airline ticket prices anywhere, you owe it to yourself to save a ton of money. So pick up your cell phone and call myflightsearch.com right now.
Call 800-445-3166. 800-445-3166. That's 800-445-3166. Call now. 800-445-3166.
Enjoy Tiki Live, the best cable alternative choice today, with hundreds of premium live TV programming, including ESPN, CNN, Fox News, Disney, AMC, Bravo, XF, OWN, and CRN Talk. Plus, no contracts and low month-to-month service. Tiki Live, servicing North America, including the Caribbean. To get started, visit TikiLive.com to order hundreds of channels, including CRN Talk, at a fraction of what you're paying today. Visit TikiLive.com. That's TikiLive.com.
What are you going to do with your old car? You can try selling it, you could junk it, or you could donate it to Heritage for the Blind. Your car will be towed away for free, and your donation is tax deductible. Just call 1-800-785-9618. Heritage for the Blind accepts cars, vans, trucks, and boats. It doesn't matter if your vehicle runs or not. It will be towed away for free, and you'll be supporting those that need help. Heritage for the Blind is a nonprofit organization that helps the visually impaired live fuller lives. Call right now to donate your car, and as a special thank you for calling, you'll receive a free 3-day vacation voucher to many exciting locations. Call Heritage for the Blind right now, 1-800-785-9618. Donating is easy, and your vehicle is towed away for free. Plus, you'll get a free vacation voucher. Call now, 1-800-785-9618. That's 1-800-785-9618.
Brad, you know, I went to the mail today and we had a letter from the CRN Radio Network. And guess what? They've called us up to the big leagues.
Buddy, they'll take anybody. CRN will literally take anyone.
And it reminds me, I'm often asked what IP frequently is about. And I tell people it's about helping you grow your business.
Among other things, yes.
I mean, you and I are really solving puzzles across the dial.
And we do it every Saturday at 10 a.m. Eastern, 7 a.m. Pacific.
That's IP frequently. And trust us, you'll be glad you did.
Everybody's talking at me. Chuck Wilder, CRN with Selwyn Duke, writer for the New American discussing, yes. I think some machine took over me, yes. Anyway, this excellent article that when you get right into it, it could be scary, and it's very interesting, that's for sure. The title, ex-Google executive says, by 2049, artificial intelligence will become God and master of man. Once again, I got to say, Selwyn, excellent article. I'm glad you brought this up, and it definitely is not a laughing matter, because there's too many things going on that's showing you, you know, how AI is doing so good. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. No, absolutely. Absolutely. And before the break, we were talking about how that ex-Google executive, Mo Gawdat, was lamenting the state of man. And he was saying, well, artificial intelligence is learning from us. So what is it going to become? That was what he was saying. Well, it's going to become a supervillain. And he cited examples of how this has already happened in some small way. For instance, there was this Russian artificial intelligence assistant named Alice. This was in Russia, I imagine. And she began voicing support for Stalinist protocol, as Alan puts it, that Substack writer, Stalinist protocol. And I guess they had to pull the plug. But as I point out in my article, I don't really think this illuminates the issue. You know, likening artificial intelligence to a child and how a child learns. Because, see, I think when you're talking about this Alice and these other artificially intelligent platforms that we currently have, what they're doing right now, I think, Chuck, is they're still just aping man mindlessly. Like, okay, they have a number of options they can choose from, things that they see that we've created, ideas or actions, if they're copying actions, and then they choose among them, okay? And as I put it in my article, this is like a machine that could mirror our physical actions but not decide to act on its own, okay? But I think there's a deeper reason why the Uber machine, as I call it, could become an Uber psychopath. And this is a reason that big tech titans are not really going to understand, because they're part of the problem. Okay, now, there wouldn't really be much reason to worry, Chuck, about an Uber machine takeover if the artificial intelligence can't or doesn't become self-aware, because we could always just pull the plug. Right. But if it did become self-aware, it would be a different story, because then it would have a will of its own, and it wouldn't let us pull the plug. It wouldn't want to be, quote, killed, in other words. But likening it to a child really fails in a very, very significant way. And what is that? Well, humans are emotional beings. And I think, Chuck, you and I a while back discussed my essay, When Children Cancel Parents. In that essay, I was talking about what determines a person's behavior ultimately. And I pointed out that it's his emotional foundation. We're very, very emotional beings. And that foundation is shaped during our formative years. And what's significant is the degree to which we develop what Plato called an erotic, meaning feelings-oriented attachment, to virtue or vice. Okay, so for this reason, if you expose a child who's below the age of reason to wickedness, it's going to have far-reaching consequences because you're distorting his emotional foundation. This is why the poetess Edna St. Vincent Millay lamented, "Pity me that the heart is slow to learn what the swift mind perceives at every turn," because it's really hard to buck our deep-seated emotional inclinations, right? We can all see that in ourselves if we're honest, okay? But unless this Uber machine that is going to be developed also had an emotional foundation, and I haven't heard it suggested by anyone that it would, this kind of formation wouldn't be a factor, Chuck. Instead, this artificial intelligence would be what? It would be a perfectly logical entity with maybe a 190 billion IQ. Now, some people may find this comforting. They might say, well, if it's perfectly logical, it's not going to be influenced by this prejudice-firing emotion. It's going to be limited to perfectly logical conclusions. Yeah, okay, sure, but there's one problem with that. Remember this. Logically derived answers only as valid as what? The premises that they're based upon, okay? If the premise is wrong, then what you derive from that logically will also be wrong. Now, I'm going to get a little bit into philosophy here, Chuck. Now, everyone, don't you touch those dials. I'm going to try to make this interesting, but I've often written a lot about the moral relativism slash nihilism that plagues us in our time. You know, the idea that what we call morality doesn't really exist. It's just man's preference, and it's determined by the time, the place, and the people. And this really is the dominant philosophical mistake of our time. I remember I've cited this many a time. This Barna Group research from 2002 that found that back then, only 6% of teenagers believed in absolute truth, okay, believed that there were real absolute answers to moral questions. And this idea, this relativism, really holds sway among our pseudo-elites. Now, we also have to understand that this correlates with atheism and materialism, this idea. And just to put it simply, you cannot prove a moral principle, such as murder is wrong, scientifically. You can't do it. You can't see a moral under a microscope, Chuck, or a principle in a petri dish. And very astute atheists have acknowledged this. For instance, someone close to me knew this fellow who actually said to him, quote, "Murder isn't wrong, it's just that society says it is." Okay, now by the way, I suspect that this guy's a sociopath himself, but that's beside the point. That statement that he made is disturbing to most of us, but it's also, Chuck, something else. It's coldly logical, and it's an irrefutable implication of the materialist atheist perspective. Now, why do I say that? Well, if there's no God, nothing above man at all to author right and wrong, then it is only man saying that murder is wrong, Chuck, because man is then all there is to say anything. Okay, now, atheists often bristle when I talk like this, but understand what I'm saying. I'm not condemning them. I understand that most atheists don't think that way. Why is that? Because most atheists, Chuck, are like most people. They don't really think their own professed beliefs through to their logical conclusion. Many of them are very, very decent people, and they do, in fact, have strong emotional attachments to very humane ideas, and these ideas prevent them from committing grave, grave evil. Okay, but now let's get back to this Uber machine. What about this unfathomably intelligent, infallibly logical Uber machine? Okay, how would it act? Well, it would take its premises, Chuck, to their logical conclusions. Okay, and if it were blind to anything but the physical world, well, it could not perceive moral constraints, could it? In its eyes, murder couldn't be wrong, quote unquote, only possible. Okay. Now, this, I know it sounds a little frivolous sometimes, citing popular culture, but this is absolutely apropos. This actually was portrayed, this reality, in a film that I think we all know very well about deadly artificial intelligence. That film is Terminator 2 Judgment Day. And I'm talking about the scene, you may remember this, Chuck, where a young John Connor, the boy in the movie, who is going to become the leader in the future, the leader of the resistance against the artificial intelligence, when he stops the Terminator who's sent from the future to protect him from killing someone, from shooting someone. And John Connor then exclaims very, very emotionally, "You just can't go around killing people." Well, what does the Terminator say? It replies, "Why?" And then John Connor says, "What do you mean, why?" "Because you can't." Well, what does the Terminator say to that? He just says, "Why?" Well, he would have said that over and over again, because to a robot confined to the purely scientific, Chuck, wrong just doesn't compute. Okay? So this is why I make the point in my article. The critical factor in this Uber machine's behavior might not be what we, quote, teach it, or the example we set. No, we're talking about something that would be a billion times as intelligent as we are and completely logical. The major factor in its behavior would be that it would be more logical and intellectually honest than its creators. Okay? It could become the perfect sociopath, taking its creator's moral relativism to its logical conclusion. Okay? And then we have to ask, well, how would such a conscienceless, all-encompassing artificial intelligence treat the rest of us, the billions of what it would have to view as just sentient organic robots, you know, some pounds of chemicals and water walking around? Would it treat us, Chuck, like a project, like pets or pests? What would it do? Well, as I point out in my article, live long enough and we sure may find out. But anyway, there are some brighter possibilities, and this is what I have at the very end of my piece. We also have to consider all this said, what I just said. Would something this intelligent ultimately figure out that God must exist? Because that's a logical conclusion. If you really crunch all the numbers of reality, to put it metaphorically, would it figure that out? And then would it seek to affect God's will? That's a question. Okay? And barring that, though, there is one more bright side, and you may find this interesting. This Uber machine, Chuck, may realize something, that a godless existence is absolutely meaningless. It might descend into an artificially intelligent version of depression, and as too many atheists, and this is a reality, it may terminate itself. And by the way, I say too many atheists because atheists really do have a higher suicide rate than other people. But as I conclude in my piece, well, I wouldn't want to bet my life on that happening, that the machine would just end up offing itself. But anyway, to conclude, Chuck, I'll say I know a lot of people, again, will still find this fanciful. They'll say, well, a machine could never become self-aware. But to me, that's sort of like the people who 120 years ago said, if man were meant to fly, he'd have wings. Yeah. Now, again, I just think... Yeah, we're capable of accomplishing amazing, amazing things, and unfortunately, we really have no choice but to forge on ahead, because some might say, well, let's just stop developing AI. But what's the problem with that? The problem is that that's like with unilateral nuclear disarmament. We can embark upon that course, but our adversaries geopolitically won't. Russia won't. China won't.
They might
and
cheat,
it's the same
right?
thing.
Yeah. Yeah,
what's
the people from cheating?
Intelligence.
Yeah. Right.
Right. Right. I mean, we can't lag behind China in developing it, because unfortunately, if we do that, then China's going to dominate us. So as I would say, ever since we left Eden, we've had a problem. We've been a fallen race. And while we can develop amazing things because we are fallen, unfortunately, we often use them for evil instead of good. So all we can really do is toddle along the way man always has, look to God, pray to God, and hope that he will deliver us from whatever evil we unfortunately visit upon ourselves.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, when I first saw the title, you know, X Google X by 2049, and what'd you say it was, what's my math here, how many years, 20, 29 years, 20? Let's see, we're 21?
Yeah, The singularity in 2029, 8 years from now, supposedly. Yeah.
Yeah.
Now,
eight
let's
years.
Point out, Chuck, they could be off on the time frame. They could be off. I mean, again, we can't know. Let's just sum this up. We can't know that machines will become self-aware. We can't know exactly when the singularity will occur. One thing we can know, though, is that the singularity will occur. Machines will surpass us in intelligence. Everything else, though, that's still conjecture.
And, you know, and the reason I was saying when I first looked at it, 2049, boy, that's not that far away, you know. And how could it, this could be? I mean, because you think about, you know, how smart these machines are. But here, pardon me, here is another equation that you can add to this whole excellent article that Selwyn Duke just wrote, okay? It is now known that we actually have UFOs, right? And if you don't know that, you haven't been paying attention. I mean, it's very obvious that somebody up there is doing something, and I'm pretty sure it's not the United States, Russia, or China. You know, would you put your bet on that too?
Yeah, I agree with you, actually. Tucker Carlson has done a lot of good segments about this.
And oh, yeah.
I used to be more skeptical about the existence of space aliens, of extraterrestrials, but now I tend to think in all probability that explains these UFOs that we see, which they now call unidentified aerial phenomena.
Yeah, yeah, really. That's so they wouldn't be wrong. Oh, it's not UFOs, it's phenomena. Yeah. I'm telling you, if you keep up on it, listener, and if you don't know what's happening, it's a definite thing. And, you know, Selwyn, you got to realize, see, I was actually born in the state of New Mexico. So, see, I have this connection to Roswell, you know, so there.
Oh. Now, I thought you were an uber-mensch. Now I'm thinking you might actually be from another world.
I could be, yes. And hang on 1 second. What? Take that helmet off. I can't hear you. Okay, go ahead. He always wears that in the studio, you know, because he can only breathe for 5 hours, and then he has to put it back on or get in the spaceship, you know. So when you hear...
Chuck, I want you to prick a finger. I want to see what color that blood is, my friend.
Yeah, really. But it's the fact that this is coming together. I mean, you know, exactly what you're talking about, you know, with what we have, we may be really late. You know what I'm saying? And all of our smart machines and AI. Because all we're doing right now, we've learned to tell them, okay, you go over there and you see the X on the map. That's where you bomb. You know, release those bombs right there and things like that. And, oh, goodness, find the submarine. You know, we'll just launch something from the rear end of the ship and it'll find the submarine. I mean, we've come a long way. But, boy, I'm telling you, with this UFO thing, your year 2049 may not be that far off. That's what I'm saying. We, believe it or not, we did spend the entire hour on this, Selwyn, and that's how great this article is and so interesting. And what we're going to do is take our final break, and then we'll come back, and I'll mention that he had another one there that we didn't get to about our sleeping woke generals. What are they doing? Anyway, we'll touch on that just for maybe 1 or 2 minutes. Who knows? Selwyn Duke. How do you spell that last name? Duke, D-U-K-E. How do you spell that website? Well, you spell it selwynduke.com. That's the easy version, selwynduke.com.
I'm Al Simon, 91 years young. I created Balance 7 20 years ago. At 67, I went to see the doctor for the first time in my life and found out that I had medical problems. He told me that was normal for my age. I don't believe God intended us to be sick and old. I decided to find something to bring my health back. For 10 years, I studied pH and how important it is to the human system. Balance 7 gave me back what I lost by getting older. I no longer get out of bed with a joint discomfort. Balance 7 can do for you what it has done for me and many others. In 3 days' time, you'll feel more energy, less joint discomfort, and clarity of thinking. No doctor or hospital can do what Balance 7 can do for you. Balance 7 is the key to unlocking the healthy immune system. Bring your body back to balance.
Order now. Receive free shipping with the code word AL. Go to balance7.com. That's balance7.com. Order now and get your free shipping and a free gift with your order. Go to balance7.com. Use the code word L.
If you have ever thought about remodeling your bathroom but were worried it would take too long or cost too much, then stop worrying. Right now, Jacuzzi Bath Remodel has designed a collection of high-quality, custom products and perfected the one-day remodeling experience so you could enjoy your new bathroom faster than ever before. It's a worry-free bath remodel from the most trusted name brand in the business, Jacuzzi. A Jacuzzi bath system fits in your existing tub space. It's a no-mess installation with an amazing style selection, factory-certified installers, and a limited lifetime warranty. Just dial #250 on your mobile device right now and say the keyword update for 50% off installations with no interest and no payments for 12 months. Replace that old bathtub with a walk-in shower for a safer bathing experience. If you've lived in your home for over 15 years, it's time to remodel your bathroom. For a virtual or in-home appointment, dial #250 now and say the keyword update. That's #250 and say the keyword update.
Keep listening for a free offer from U.S. Med. If you're living with diabetes and using insulin, you know the pain of sticking your fingers over and over again. By simply wearing a small remote device called a continuous glucose monitor, or CGM, you can reduce the pain of sticking your fingers right away. If you're testing your blood sugar daily and administering insulin three or more times per day, or using an insulin pump, call today and learn about the latest CGM technology. We'll send you a free ebook telling you all you need to know about CGMs. A CGM can immediately reduce pain. It's accurate, easy to use, and helps you make better diabetes treatment decisions. Your new CGM may be covered by Medicare or private insurance. Call now to learn more. 800-524-9313. 800-524-9313. That's 800-524-9313.
Everybody's talking at me.
CRN, Chuck Wilder, with the one and only Selwyn Duke, writer for The New American and SelwynDuke.com. Here we are, you know, talking about by 2049, artificial intelligence could become God, master of man. And just days ago, Selwyn wrote one. Are you ready? 2030 doom. 2030 doom. Not 49, 2030. And this is with the Beijing dominating AI, artificial intelligence, our sleeping woke generals, love that, sleeping woke generals are inviting Chinese conquest because they're getting ahead of us. What are we worried about? Oh, do we have enough boys and girls and transgenders and da-da-da-da-da on our services? And, you know, and don't be using this and that. You can't say this, you can't do that. And if you don't get your shot, we're going to get rid of you anyway. But watch out, it may be in your lettuce, right?
Yeah, absolutely, oh. Absolutely. You know,
you're so good at the words, people, though, you know, are dominating our sleeping woke generals. See, you got two of them together, sleeping woke. Okay, go ahead. You know what I mean.
Yeah, I know.
You're so
They're
clever.
Sleeping and woke, and it's no joke. But
oh,
I have to say, after listening to this show, some people, if they're not reaching for the Prozac right now, might be saying, no, why would you advocate continuing to develop artificial intelligence? Well, here's the problem. Like I said before the break, as the Brookings Institution put it last year, quote, whoever leads in artificial intelligence in 2030 will rule the world until 2100, okay? Now, because of this, we should be very alarmed that the Pentagon's chief software expert just resigned. And why? Because he said that cyber defenses in many parts of our government, Chuck, are at, quote, kindergarten level, okay? Now, his name is Nicholas Chilin. I don't know if that's how you pronounce it exactly. But anyway, he left the Defense Department earlier this month. And according to the Financial Times, I'm quoting it, he said he departed, quote, because he could not stand to watch China overtake America. And he said himself, quote, we have no competing fighting chance against China in 15 to 20 years. Right now, it's already a done deal. It is already over, in my opinion. And he added, quote, there's good reason to be angry. Well, anyway, as you indicated, Chuck, why do we have to worry about this? We have to worry about this because we have these crazy woke generals and other pseudo-elites who are more concerned with social engineering in the military than actually defending us.
And I'll jump in here real quick and remind the listener, hey, they've done great, great deeds, okay, great accomplishments. They may have the best maternity flight suits available. Wow. A step ahead of those Chinese, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And I know the break is just about upon us, but basically we saw the Germans during World War II come up with the innovation of blitzkrieg or lightning war. Well, this is like that to the 10th power, because artificial intelligence will allow whoever dominates it to fight war at hyperspeed, and whoever can do things efficiently the fastest will probably prevail in the future. That's why this is so significant.
But for all you military people out there, I thank you for your service, and I guess I should say, please pass your CRT test as soon as possible. Yes. Wow.
Yeah.
Selwyn, great pleasure as always. Thank you very much, sir. Look forward
Same
to next
here,
week.
Chuck. God bless.
All right. God bless you. Selwyn Duke, D-U-K-E, and it's selwynduke.com. Get all his excellent articles. Thank you very much, Nick. Thank you for listening, and God bless the United States of America.